This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Verse 38 says, it happened that as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house. So here we have the village of Bethany, 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Bethany means immature. It's the house of unripe figs. It's immature, fruit that hasn't matured yet. And Martha and Mary lived there, along with their brother Lazarus. You remember him? They all lived in Bethany, 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, as we said. Now, as Jesus went by, as the presence of the Lord drew near, she was inspired by that to invite Jesus into her house. And that is always the case, that when a person invites Christ into their life, that it is not something done on their own, but it's something done as a response to the fact that his presence is there. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important and so valuable in the evangelism aspects of our ministry and in the discipleship aspects of our ministry. It's the presence of God that draws people in. And so she responded to that and invited him. So the invitation comes as a result of his presence. So his presence would be the great influence to open her up, or open up her home, and in our cases, open up our hearts to receive him. It doesn't happen to everyone that way. We know in John 5 and verse 40 that many will not believe upon him. No matter what they see or no matter what they hear, they simply refuse to believe. They're adamant about it. Then there are others, of course, that we've met and we know people who are like who are little Agrippas, little King Agrippas, who said when Paul preached to him and witnessed to him, he said, "Paul, you almost persuaded me. I'm this close, but not today. You know, maybe later in my life. Maybe I'll do it down the road. But not, I agree with what you're saying, but not now." They're almost persuaded crowd. You've met them. You know them. You might have been one of them for a period of time. But that's Acts 26, verse 28. Almost persuaded. But Jesus responded. She invited him in. And Jesus responded to the invitation. And if any man calls upon the Lord, he doesn't reject them. We know that. He will no wise cast them out, it says. He doesn't reject them when they call upon him. So he responded to the invitation and entered into her house, in the house of Mary and the house of Lazarus. And their lives were changed forever. When Jesus enters the house, something different takes place. When he enters a man's life, a woman's life, there's a change. There's a change in the attitude, change in the way you think, change in the way you view your life. There are changes that take place, and it's only the beginning of many more changes that will take place as you continue in the Lord. So Jesus responded, entered the house. Their lives were going to be changed. And verse 39 tells us that her sister Mary, Martha's sister Mary, was there, and she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Martha did the inviting, opening the door, inviting him in. Mary took the position of sitting at Jesus' feet. When he came in and he sat, she went over and sat down at his feet to listen to what he had to say. So the feet of Jesus, what a beautiful place to sit. The feet of Jesus speaks of his walk of righteousness upon the earth. 33 years, he walked in the Father's will, never operated outside of it, never did anything outside of his will, never thought outside of his will. He was perfect in all of his ways, never sinned once. He walked in perfect righteousness while upon the earth. Those are the feet of Jesus. The feet of Jesus, we are told in Romans 5:19, allowed him to walk in obedience to God. 5:19 tells us, it says that by one man's sin, meaning the work of Adam in the garden, one man's sin, Adam sinned, and all of us, before we were even born, were declared to be sinners. Adam did the sinning, and then we were told, before we were even born, years before we were even born, centuries before we were born, you're a sinner. Anyone born in the human race is a sinner. And when you're born, the day you're born, the day you're conceived in the womb, you'll receive a sin nature. So you're already declared to be a sinner, and then you receive a sin nature, all because of what Adam did. Adam sinned, and you became a sinner before you ever committed a sin. Before you ever committed your first sin, you are already declared by God to be a sinner. That's not a bad thing, because in the like manner, the obedience of Christ, it says, many were made righteous. So by the sinfulness of one man, all of us became called sinners, but by the obedience of one man, we were declared righteous before we did one righteous thing. The obedience of one man made God stamp his stamp of approval on you and say, you're righteous. And you say, well, I didn't do anything righteous yet. And he says, my son did it all. He walked in perfect righteousness before me. And his feet are what God looks at and not my feet. God the Father looks at the feet of Christ and not at my feet when it comes to determining whether or not I am worthy to be in his presence. If he looked at my feet, my dirty old feet, I'd get the boot quick. And so would you. But he looks at the feet of Christ, and those are beautiful feet. Those are precious feet. Those are feet that walked in nothing but obedience. And he sees those feet, and he doesn't see your feet, and he accepts you because of him. That's why it's a finished work. That's why we're accepted in the Beloved forever. His feet are more than just an example for us, as some might teach. And Jesus is an example for us as believers in 1 Peter 2:21. He's our great example. But he's more than just an example. His feet were substituted for my crippled feet. Just like in the story of Mephibosheth back in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 9, the feet of Mephibosheth were crippled. He was lame from his boot from when he was a young child, since he was 5 years old. He couldn't walk. He had no ability to walk. He was carried into the presence of the king and sat at the king's table every single day and ate from the king's provision and enjoyed the king's fellowship. That's a picture of the believer who's carried into the presence of Jesus Christ. We fellowship with him. We enjoy his provision. We have a seat at the table always, and not because of our crippled feet, but because of his perfect feet that walked in obedience to the Father. It's all a gift from him. So there she is at the feet of Jesus, the beautiful feet of Jesus, and she's sitting, and sitting speaks of rest. Heard a great little message yesterday at the outreach meeting on faith rest, resting in the Lord, and there she sits, resting at his feet, which means she's trusting in what he is accomplishing for her. So, well, he hadn't done it yet. He hadn't been to the cross yet. It doesn't matter. In the mind of God, Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth, and that's Revelation 13:8, which means in God's mind, who sees the end from the beginning, he already can foresee that Christ will be successful in his mission upon the earth to die for the sins of mankind. So he can see that in eternity past, he can look and see the future. So in God's mind, it's already a done deal, even before Christ went to the cross. But She's sitting at his feet, trusting in what he does for her, not what she can do for him. And she's at his feet because his feet were the feet of obedience. And her feet may not have been so obedient all the time. So, at Jesus' feet she sat in faith rest. She's worthy to be there because of what he had accomplished. And you are worthy to be a child of God this morning. You are worthy to be heard when you pray. You are worthy to be considered part of the body of Christ. You are worthy to be the apple of God's eye. You are worthy for these things because of what he has done for you. So she is accepted in his presence. She sits there. She's at his feet. She's not trying to convince him that her feet are beautiful. She's not trying to tell him that she's done wonderful things in his name. Shouldn't she be accepted? No, she's sitting at his feet. And she can sense, as any of us would in Ephesians 1:6, that she is accepted by him. He's not saying anything that would indicate that he rejects her. He's not giving her the look, you know, that look where you sense that you're not rejected, that you're rejected by somebody. Look of disdain, look of disapproval, looking down on her. She doesn't sense that, any of that from him. She senses she is accepted by him. Very important to her emotional need, her spiritual need, her psychological needs. There are things in our life that we need, and when we grow up, we don't always get them. Often children grow up and they find that they have not been properly supplied, or the provision that they need for their psychological well-being has not been provided for them because of the condition of the family or whatever. But children need to grow up with acceptance. They need to know they're accepted. They need to know that they are approved of. They need to know the affection. And they need to have discipline. Four areas of love. They need to be accepted, approved, affection, and correction. Those things are necessary in a child's life. Without those things, or you take one of those things away, let's say you raise your child and you don't discipline them, then they're lacking in one area and their life becomes imbalanced and they end up to become a person who's needy. And let's say you have too much discipline. You're very strict and they never receive your approval. Everything they do is wrong. Every idea they have is wrong. Always, whether you say it or just show them a face, they know that they're not living up to your expectations, and so they don't get approval, and they grow up needy. They grow up needy because they have these psychological gaps in them. So God's provision, God comes in. Before he comes in, the devil comes in and lies to them.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security,